Christ.
Your
Sam wasn't here.
It's proofread, not proofwrite.
I was failure to proof correctly.
Okay.
I can't proof very
okay.
Well.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
Good morning.
Welcome
to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers. I'd like to know if there are any general announcements. Patrick? Are there any other general announcements? The flowers this morning are on the altar are donated by the Murphy family in honor of all the fathers. Oh, Larry. Jonna. Larry has a...
Two, I think, yeah. Okay, Sam Sutter, we promoted him as a candidate for moderator of the General Assembly. He went to the General Assembly Monday afternoon about 4 o'clock or thereabout, 4:30. We knew that he was the new moderator of the General Assembly. He won hands down, and first ballot beating out two preachers. One of the strong points that people kept mentioning to me is, number one, Sam's service to the church at large as well as locally, and I shared a bunch of stuff about him, and then his humbleness. So we rejoice with him. Now, when he walks in, if he is at an official function of the presbytery or General Assembly, we're supposed to stand, but just back here with us, we don't have to do that or don't even, it's not expected. It's not standing for Sam, it's standing in respect for the office. Office of moderator of General Assembly, he'll serve 1 year, possibly next week. Some people say, well, what does he do? And there's an official statement of what the moderator does, and I've downloaded it, but I haven't printed it yet, so we'll work on that next week. Or this coming week and share that with you. But he did us proud, and we're proud of him, and we might give him in the office a round of applause here. Nancy was right there with him and smiling all the time.
And Larry did a great nominating speech. Everybody complimented and said that was one of the factors of me winning the election also. So I thank him as a longtime friend. Larry and I have known each other almost 30 years now. So I appreciate him, too. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you. Most of you know that Pastor Naren passed away early Tuesday morning and was buried on Thursday. The family came out in mass this morning in support of Harvey to express their thanks for what the church had done and what the church had been during her sickness and this week that they were walking and are still walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I have a note to read from Harvey, and when Deborah says it's okay, but also I need to mention that Joe England's nephew, maybe nephew by marriage, niece's husband, Donnie Lowe, we've had on the prayer list, been mentioned numerous times. He passed away this morning, 52 years old. 53, and it was this morning, right? And lift up Joe and the family there, and continue to lift up the Naren family. There may be others.
Do we have any other prayer or praise requests? From Lorraine, that's the one I got to say. She's having a hard time recovering from surgery. All right. Okay. Are there any others, Diane? Are there any others? Before Larry reads the letter, I'd like to know if there are any first-time visitors. I forgot that. And I think we'll go ahead and take a moment of silence so that, and go ahead and let the candles be lit, and then we'll have the letter from Harvey to read. If you'll please bow your heads for a moment.
Thank you to everyone for the outpouring of support in this time of grief, hurt, and sorrow. We thank you for all of the great food, hands-on help, a shoulder to lean on, the support, and someone to pray with. We thank Peggy Donovan and Kim Glasscock for the beautiful song that they sang in her service. We thank Brother Mary for his comforting words and her ticket to heaven, and Jesus for being with us all. Praise be to all of you, and may Jesus add a star in the book of life for all of you. We especially want to thank the youth group that helped Nick walk down this road of hurt with an army that would not be denied. They were with her at every step, every hour, every minute, every second, so that she would not fall or get lost. I hope that each mother, each father realizes how blessed they are to have such beautiful, children of Christ. Maybe we could learn a little something from them. Thanks to Patrick for his spiritual support. At first, I was skeptical of Pat because he was new. I now believe I know that Pat is a true servant of the Lord. Jesus Church has been blessed again with such a youth minister. Youth was with us even when she took her last breath. Thank God. Because of the unbelievable commitment of our youth, we know that Patsy would love to honor them in the highest. Praise be to our you. We know in our hearts how happy the Lord is that you have glorified him so. Thanks for the light at such a dark time. In memory of Patsy, we know that she would love to reward the youth, so we are donating $1,000 to the youth group. In no way does this ever even come close to what we have received, but hopefully we'll help a little. Please keep your march to the promised land up and on. Hallelujah. Love to all. Patsy. In postscript, see you when you all get your ticket to paradise. And then this morning, Harvey handed me another note. My heart on paper. As I open my eyes to the new day that you have granted me, it hurts so to carry on with this grief, this loss, this loneliness. Then I look out the window at all the vigorous life and turn and look at my children so full of love. That's when your presence takes over and makes me so happy, so proud, and so awe. It's better today with you to show the way. I believe, I believe, I believe. Amen.
Today of a young man that is an adult today. Oh, we sang happy birthday. Nobody sang happy birthday to me yesterday.
Happy birthday yesterday.
So I'm going to ask Melanie to do happy birthday so I can get my happy birthday along with us.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, to be 18 again.
No,
oh,
no, 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 no. No.
Well, I don't know. When you get as old as me, and you kind of look at 18 a little different. If everyone will open their bulletins, we'll go ahead and do a call to worship this morning, taken from Psalms 9. Let us praise God, who is our strength in times of trouble.
Those who put their trust in God will never be disappointed.
Sing and speak of God's great deeds to all peoples.
Who hears our cries, sees our suffering, and who lifts us up from the depths.
Turning our despair into joy, for true power belongs to you, O God.
Judge all those who create unjust systems, which make people powerless.
Let us praise God, who is our strength in times of trouble.
Hymns, if you will, please, hymn 59. I sing the mighty power of God.
I sing of my big power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the rolling seas around and filled the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the Lord's born to rule my day. The moon shines through past his garden and draw the stars away. I sing the goodness of the Lord that fills the earth with good. Mark the creature with his word and name.
Prayer of confession, so I want you to be aware of that before we begin.
see, God tells them what they have done, that they have sinned arrogantly. He makes them listen to correction and commands them to repent of their evil. If they obey and serve Him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in contentment. Prayer of confession is in unison, if you'd like to follow along.
Merciful God, we share in the conviction of the Psalms that you are a stronghold in times of trouble, and we rejoice over the evidence of such care for us and for all people as we experience in Jesus. Yet we confess how easily we identify with the fear of the disciples when they are caught in the storm. Then our faith falters and our anxiety levels soar when life becomes too turbulent for us. We fail to remember Jesus demonstrated your power and bring peace even in the stormiest situations. And so, time and again, the stresses of living and working and learning threaten to swamp us. Our eyes sometimes feel as though we are spinning out of control, with worries over health, relationships, finances, the state of the world. We forget that Jesus is in our midst, calming our fears and strengthening us, especially when we feel most vulnerable, fearful, and weak.
Gracious God,
forgive us all our fears and weaknesses, we pray. Renew and strengthen our faith in the living Christ so that we can live empowered by His presence. This we pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Amen. Our words of assurance, as the Apostle Paul wrote, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. The good news, therefore, is this. Now it is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Thanks be to God.
Turn your hymnals again to hymn 202, Amazing Grace.
top Tory sentence this morning. Like a potter, you fashion the clay into designs of everlasting beauty. You set the heavens ablaze to your eternal glory. You create the field and bring forth the harvest. It yields its hours because of your grace. Hear us, O God, as we give you heartfelt praise and receive our offerings as signs of love and gratitude. If the ushers will please come forward. I need six, please.
Let us pray. Lord God, you have blessed us. Lord, you have made us. We are yours. You have made all that we claim as our own. Lord, we realize that you just let us use it, and you call us to use it for your honor and glory. Thank you for these material blessings, and so direct our thoughts and our action that they would be for your glory. Lord, a portion you call for your work, we thank you for the privilege of having enough to share. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
And so he says to me all the time when I was living, I tell him all the time, it's your fault.
I started this sermon last Sunday. I did not finish. Seems that there's never enough time. I still remember that first sermon, 6 minutes long. I had to preach that night, so I went home and worked hard enough that afternoon to have 10 minutes. And that was probably a mistake. Never had a 10-minute sermon since then, or a 6-minute one. Started talking last week about God's call to you, and we dealt with, if you don't remember, if you happen not to be here, we dealt with Isaiah in the temple. Same scripture lesson. He went into the temple, he saw the Lord, and we want to talk about that, but specifically today about God's call to Isaiah. Two young men in this congregation are experiencing the call to the ministry of some sort right now. One is pretty sure, one is investigating and trying to discern, or in simple terms, trying to figure it out. And it's not an easy determination, not an easy thing to do, to say if this is just my thoughts, or is this is somebody else's thoughts, or if this is God's thought. But God calls us not only to ministry. I think back in March I spoke on God's call, and God calls us not only to ministry as professional ministers, I guess you would say, or we call it the full work of the gospel ministry, minister of word and sacrament, it's often referred to. He calls us to other tasks also. We've experienced in our family with Susan feeling a strong call to youth work and then to youth work at another level. We've experienced it with Elizabeth feeling a strong calling to be a teacher after working in the real world for 6 years, I guess it was. And she'll learn that teaching is the real world also. But there are many others. I think Sam received a call to give the last half of his life after 51 years of age to ministry, a working ministry, building, repair in places where that was needed. Sometime on a new building and sometime on a building that had been destroyed by neglect, and other times on a building that had been destroyed by a tornado, a hurricane, or something of that nature. So there are many, many things that God calls us to. It's good for, I think, for us to be looking. What does God really want us to do? I was talking to Tyler. Tyler, what is your final decision, Tyler? Have you made one yet? And he's pretty close. I think he has, and he thinks he has. And is that a calling? I think it is. He can talk to you about it. 18 today. And that's such a decisive time. And maybe what happens at 18, what decision you make will shape your life unless you adjust it somewhere along the way. Last week we looked at Isaiah's experience in the temple, or part of it, and what he might have felt, and we kind of continue with that today, I want to look more at the call. Part of his experience there in the temple, having been forgiven his uncleanliness, I guess his foul language was seemingly, I'm a man of unclean lips. I've been speaking words that God's people shouldn't speak, I guess. He was forgiven, cleansed. The sin was burned away, I guess. And he was. Then God said, "Now who's going to go for me?" Called to be a prophet. My interest today is to look at Isaiah, but hopefully this will speak to us. Not just look at a character in history from 2,700 years ago or thereabout, and say, oh, that happened to him back then, but can it happen to us? Can it happen today? Is God calling me? Is God calling you. You ask yourself, is he calling me? Calling you yourself. Did you notice? And let me try to I'm a little confused here, but I did that. Okay. Did you notice? I did a lot of filling in after this outline was, and that kind of confused me. That God did not call Isaiah specifically. He did not call Isaiah by name. Read it. And this is Isaiah's testimony. It wasn't somebody else's testimony about him. It was Isaiah's testimony. And we do not find, in this passage at least, that God said, Isaiah, I've got a job for you to do. As I read this, I began to think, wonder, question, who was in the temple with Isaiah that day, in the year that King Uzziah died? Who was there? Was he alone in the temple? And somewhere in my mind, I've only seen in the past Isaiah being in the temple by himself. That's one of the blessings that we who work here at the church have. We can find ourselves in the sanctuary by ourselves. But the average worshiper comes in when other people are here. You're welcome to come by at any time and slip in the sanctuary. We may come in and talk to you. We may offer you a task, a job. Maybe God is even speaking through us to call you to do something right then. But then you can come by and just talk to Him. But one thing that we who work here regularly, we can just slip in anytime and nobody notices. And we can be in the sanctuary with God. Just us and Jesus, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. And just kind of bathe in His love. Other times, like this morning, we're here together. It's a congregation. And I began to wonder, was Isaiah by himself or was in a congregation of worship? And he was probably in a congregation of people gathered to worship God. So I've had a new insight. Maybe God placed it in my mind. I don't know where it came from. But a new insight into this passage. After going over it and over it and over it often in 40 years, as I mentioned last week, a pattern for worship or planning a worship service. Come into the temple. Come into the sanctuary. Hopefully hear the voice of God. Be called to worship by His Scripture. Experiencing the presence of God or seeing the Lord. Maybe not like Isaiah did, but at a different level. What if we did see God as Isaiah did, see the Lord high and lifted up? But somewhat like us is a very real possibility that Isaiah was in church, in a worship setting, and there he saw the Lord. Now, then the question to Isaiah. The question that Isaiah heard was, whom shall I send? Who will go? And as I look at this, and kind of, I guess, pick it apart, if you will, which one of you would like to do something great? Or which one of you has time to do something for the kingdom's work? Or who of you is willing to offer yourself to the Lord? Which one of you will go? That's why Since he didn't say, Isaiah, since you're the only one here, I guess you're the one. He didn't say that. So we can believe that it was a gathered congregation. And Jesus said, God the Father, when Jesus was there, one and the same, right? The Lord said, which one of you wants to be my spokesperson? And it could have been this one. It could have been that one. But Isaiah said, here I am, Lord. Here I am. That question was followed by Isaiah's response. It was not an, okay, Lord, since you specifically call me by name, I guess I have no other choice. And I think in what I interpreted, I'm very careful most of the time to say, what I interpreted is God's call of me. I didn't hear, very good, I've got a call for you, I've got a job for you to do. And I kept waiting for this letter to come. Maybe just float down from heaven one day. And Larry Gwynn, here it is, and this is what I want you to do, and signed by God. Didn't get that specifically to me, but it was that, I guess you could call it that gnawing or that urging or that compulsion, that urging, or as I interpreted it as an urging. But it wasn't, okay, Lord, since you specifically call me by my name, I guess I have no other choice. I still don't see why he couldn't use somebody else from my neighborhood or my home church. I can imagine that his situation was somewhat like God saying, folks, like I'm looking at you today, folks, I have a job for somebody. One of my opportunities. Chelsea came out this morning and said, I got to read the scripture this morning. I said, no, you get to. She says, yes, another opportunity. She's caught on pretty quick. Yeah. God saying, folks, I have a job for somebody. Who will take it? I have a work for somebody to. I need a volunteer. And you never know who's going to volunteer. Sometimes you have to be very careful because you might get some volunteer that's really way out there. And that has happened. Has it not, Andrea? Andrea knows about it. I need a volunteer for the new, to work for me. There's a need to be met. Who will be the one? Now we say in the army, those that went to the army or the service of any kind, they learn pretty quickly never to volunteer. And sometimes we've carried that over to the church. We don't want to volunteer, even in God's army. But God's going to bless us. He's not like a drill sergeant. There's a need to be met. Who will be the one? And we find in this, Isaiah responded. Reckon how fast that hand went up. Reckon what he was thinking. Lord, I'm not sure I can do it, but I'll try. If you can use me, Lord, here I am. Reckon Psalm looked around and said, oh no, not Isaiah. That's what they said about me. Still saying it. One of my friends this week, after our nomination speech, they just couldn't believe it. And the Lord had to be there. Because I can't do it. Even after this will get personal, even after I sat down, I had my notes out and took them out and started looking them over and I read them again, and while they was giving the next man's speech, I didn't get the votes, I didn't have to hear it. I was saying, now I meant to say that. Did I really say it? I meant to say that. Did I really say it? Well, I'd said everything was on that paper. But I couldn't even remember. So it was almost like, to me, it was like God had just took over and enabled it to happen.
Isaiah responded. It don't matter what the other people thought. God called him and he responded and God was going to bless him and he did. Other calls. Moses. Exodus chapter 3. Moses was, I call it, on the back 40. He had killed a man back in Egypt. He had run off a faraway place. He got into this family, married a girl, and was watching his father-in-law's sheep. And it was pretty customary for bushes to burn, just kind of, is it spontaneous combustion? I couldn't think of that at the first hour. Spontaneous combustion. And this one combusted and it burned. But the difference there, it burned and it burned and it burned and it burned. And Moses looked and he went over to check it out to see why it wasn't consumed. Got close and God began to speak to him. God called Moses specifically. So he called Isaiah. We don't see it being specific. Who will go? But for Moses, Moses we think was the only one out there. There's no indication that anybody else was helping him with those sheep. He was alone. So there was Moses. And in Exodus 3, God spoke to him through that burning bush. And he goes back, when did God speak to you? How did he do it? He said, through a burning bush. And people would say, what? They need to lock him up. God speaks as he chooses, though, not as we think he ought to. And then Jeremiah, chapter 1 of Jeremiah, verse 4 through 17, and I think you have all this to take home. We won't dig into them today, but go home and read these calls, if you will. Good devotional for a Sunday afternoon when you're not doing anything else, you know, sitting around keeping the Sabbath day holy. Open the holy book and start reading. And we've provided this, and all you have to do is just take it home and you got a good lesson on the call of God. All of them happened to be this time from the Old Testament. When I got through and I had more information than time would allow, and I said, all of them from the Old Testament. But there are many in the New Testament also. You can find them yourself. But then Jeremiah was called kind of specifically before he was born. Jeremiah argued with God. It looks like the difference in Isaiah and Jeremiah. They're real close there in the Old Testament. Isaiah first, Jeremiah next. You didn't know that, did you? And then Isaiah said, it was like he was saying, here I am, Lord, let me go. I'll be it. Like that fifth grader that wants to answer every question that the teacher asks. Even wants to go out and beat the dust out of the erasers. Remember, that was a great job. Had a friend that went out and beat the dust out of the eraser on the building, on the brick building, white chalk on the building. The teacher didn't like that. He didn't get to go anymore. Let me, Lord. Jeremiah was saying, Lord, I don't think I can do this. I'm so young. And then we move on to Gideon. Gideon, Judges chapter 6, verse 11 through 24. He was out at the wine press. He was probably by himself. The Midianites had been whooping up on or beating up on the Israelites. They had to go hide to get the juice out of the grapes to have good wine. And Gideon was there stomping out the grapes or at the wine press, trying to get the juice out. But it was kind of hid. And the Lord came and spoke to him. Ezekiel, it looks like Ezekiel might have been, especially chapter 2, might have been in a gathered congregation also. So, you can read that one and see. Abraham was called. Genesis chapter 12. Abraham, what did he do? God said to Abraham, Abraham, Abram is calling him then, I want you to get up from where you are and go over to here where I'm going to take you. Abraham, the scriptures indicate, he just got up and left. He went over to another place where God placed him. Talk about, just for a moment, Jonah. God called Jonah. Jonah, I want you to go and preach to the Ninevites. The Ninevites are an evil people. I want you to go up there and preach to them and Bring them to the Lord. Be a missionary. That was his call, to be a missionary to a foreign people. A preaching missionary. Jonah didn't like Ninevites. He didn't like the people of Nineveh. And he said, I'm not going. No matter what the Lord says, I'm not going. He said, I'll just go the other direction. He jumped on a ship, took off another place. Well, there were some problems. He ended up in the ocean, in the belly of a whale. And there, he came to his senses, I guess you could say, and the whale got sick. He was so far from God, he made the whale sick. The whale spit him up on the shore, and Jonah went to Nineveh and preached, and the whole country got saved. They repented. They sat in sackcloth, ashes. They turned to the Lord and worshiped the Lord. Even the king, he decreed that they had to be servants of the Lord, Jonah's God. And Jonah, though he had done what God said, he didn't want to. He did it against his own will. And he said, I'm mad. Went out and pouted, carried on, and but though he didn't want to go, God still used him. It's a great story for us. We may not feel qualified. We may not even want to. But if God is calling us, we better go. Jonah ran from his call. Isaiah, what kind of response was he promised? We read through verse 8, but read verse 9. God even told him, said, Jonah, you're going to go preach, and they're not going to listen. You're not going to get a very good response. You're not going to get any response at all. But go and preach anyway. Go and preach anyway. How about our response to God's call? What about your response to God's call? Maybe he's calling. Maybe he's got a big job, lifetime job, short-term responsibility, a task. You know, I don't know. I can't read what God is calling you to. I can about figure out he's, well, one person even in the church, Patrick, may I use you? You heard what Harvey said. Patrick proved himself a great pastor this week. If there's ever any question that God called him to be a pastor, he affirmed it. It was validated this week. And thank you again, Patrick. And as you heard Harvey's note, he was new. But he ministered. He responded to God's call. Pray for Paul. Pray for Nolan. But pray for others that God may raise up great ministers, servants, spokespersons, workmen. And pray for Sam. He's been called by the church to serve a year. And the vote says to me, validates that it was God calling. Started with a little lady down in Columbia Presbytery, said to her husband, I think Sam ought to be moderator. And she said to her husband, he called me, and the rest is history. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for using us in your kingdom. All powerful God, you can do it any way you so desire, but you've chosen to use your people. Thank you and praise be unto you. Help us to be able to hear and trust and act. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me and we'll sing verse 1 and 5. Maybe yours is a public response. Maybe it's just private there between you and God, and you'll tell us later that you've got a response of some kind. I know you have. Thank you.
glad you know. We're so spontaneous.